You are listening to Healing with Haley, episode 16, Your Life Awaits. Welcome to the podcast where it's all about self-improvement, our brains, experiences, leadership, and living your dream life. My name is Haley Kirk, and I'm a life coach, mom, entrepreneur, here to show you how to be the hero of your story. Welcome, you guys. I am so in love with this podcast episode. I have thought about it for many a days, and I just can't wait to share it with you guys. So I usually get my inspiration from the movies I watch with my son, Israel. And right now his favorite movie is Frozen. And I had never watched it in its entirety until Israel wanted to watch a different movie. And he loves the ice scene at the very beginning when they're cutting the ice. It's such good visual effects. It looks really good with the 3D. I named this podcast after a scene where Elsa, you know, has run off into the mountains because she exposed her powers to the people of Arendelle, and Anna goes up to go find her. So Anna, she is trying to beckon her sister Elsa to come back, and I love the part that Elsa sings. She goes, "Please go back home, your life awaits. Go enjoy the sun and open up the gates." Anyway, so let's unpack this because there is so much here. I think this stanza right here in this song is loaded in golden nuggets. I love finding golden nuggets in stories and music and just any art form, any aspect of life. I just love finding those golden nuggets that really help us view the world or how we're living in a different way, or in a way in which that we can change, we can make better, we can improve. So number one, where is home? Home, when she says, "Please go back home," where are we going? Where are we going back to? What is home? I believe home is your center. Wherever it could be, it could be a place, but I really think we could find the most homey feelings is within us. And I always feel like it's right in our center. Like if I could point it out on my body, it's like my sternum, like in there. That's where I feel home. I feel this, it's where your awakening is, your consciousness is. And many times we operate out of that. We're so desensitized by our bodies, and our bodies are really these intelligences, and we're just not connected with them. We like to numb emotion, and where do we feel emotion? In our bodies. And a lot of times we do a lot of harm to our bodies. We don't take care of our bodies. And I believe that's where we're disconnecting, is we're really trying to disconnect from emotion. And emotion is felt in the body. And how do we know this? You know, in our previous episode, we talked about Brene Brown and how we're the most overweight, medicated, depressed cohort of American society. And it's because we're not connecting with our body. We're not connecting with our emotions, our vulnerability. We're tuning out. We're distracted. We're on social media. We're on TV. We're not outside. We're inside. We're not connecting because it's vulnerable, because feeling emotion is so uncomfortable. But in that discomfort is where we find awakening and peace. And so many times we're operating from that survival brain, right? Like something's wrong. I need food. I need shelter. Like I need. I have lack. And it's really another way to say that survival brain is unconsciousness. And what do I mean by that? It's to illustrate, I want to pull an example from the movie where Elsa is crippled with fear and operates out of this emotion and never even opens her bedroom door to interact with her sister. which actually would help her and her fears. And I even want to go before then in her parents, you know, the solution to her powers or their coping mechanism with this power that she's been given is to hide it. What? And I'm a parent, so I get it. It's like you want to protect your child. You don't know what people are going to do, or they're going to like have an angry mob. I understand. But within the castle, like why? I am questioning their parents' judgment here, because I'm like, wait. So they're in the movie. Elsa and Anna are little. There's a flashback. They're little, and then they are playing in the snow. They're building a snowman. There's a really cute story about that, or a little song about building a snowman. But Elsa is playing with Anna, and Anna is going up these snow piles, and Elsa is overwhelmed and she can't build them fast enough to keep up with Anna's pace, and Elsa ends up striking her head to try to save her. And so the parents take Elsa and Anna to this troll community that can heal Anna from this frozen mind, right? There's so many literary aspects to pull from this. It's so juicy. So the troll says that, the troll king, he says that fear is what will be her enemy. And then I wish the troll king would have been like, after hearing the response from the parents, like, oh, okay, like we can manage this. We'll just shut her out from society and hide her and limit the staff and go ahead and erase the fact that she's magical from Anna's brain. Like, what? The troll king could have been, you know, because in this role, he's operating kind of as like the guide, right? In the archetypes of literature, he's like this guide, this wise one. Why couldn't he impart some knowledge to these parents and say, hey, you're fueling her fear of this power that she's been given by isolating her? I don't understand. I mean, of course, that would have prevented the plot from continuing, but that is a plot hole. I'm going to point that out right now. Like, troll, you couldn't have imparted some of that knowledge as you were hearing the parents' plan to fuel the fear. irritates me so much. Another example of unconsciousness is when it's coronation day, they're at the ball, and Elsa and Anna are kind of bickering, and Anna says, what have I ever done to you? Why are you so afraid? I can't live like this anymore. And then Elsa retorts, then leave. Now, this, right, this opportunity of what Elsa said is a great opportunity for Anna to go into consciousness, right? Oh, wow, that hurts me because there's a part of me that wants to. And how do we know that? Because she sings a song literally, you know, for the first time in forever, I won't be alone, right? I mean, that's just desperation to escape a situation. And I think that this is such a great opportunity for Anna to be like, wow, I have been unconsciously living in fear as well. I'm afraid to leave, even though I'm miserable. I am miserably alone in this lonely, dark castle. I don't want to be here anymore. I want to be out with the people. I want to be noticed by someone, you know, a part in that lyric, in that song. And it's unconscious living on Anna's part. And when Elsa kind of points it out to her, she's not hurting her. She's just telling the truth. And the truth hurts because we're blind to it, right? We can only be hurt by things that were already there. And Elsa was kind of just tapping the wound on Anna, right? She just kind of grazed it. She tapped on it. And Anna could say, oh, how dare my sister say that? You know, that's so hurtful and mean. Well, is it? Is it hurtful and mean for her to say what you know to be true? She's actually kind of your Buddha or your teacher in that moment. And so one of my favorite authors, Byron Katie, suggests that when we feel pain or discomfort by something someone says or something someone does, there's work to do. That is us figuring out the pain that was there before, which oftentimes is the pain that we've inflicted on ourselves. And there's that part, when someone says something that might be hurtful, it's because there's a part of it that we believe to be true. So when Elsa says, then leave, sure, there's some elements of rejection that she might feel. Like she might feel rejected by her sister, not wanted by her sister. But she probably deep down felt the need to leave even before Elsa said that. So, number one, go back home. Always go back home. Go to your center. Go back to what you know to be true. You know, if someone says something to you that hurts you, inquire, judge. I keep talking about it on this podcast, but one of my favorite exercises to do when I find myself just ruminating or feeling like a victim is to do a judge your neighbor worksheet. It helps me get back to my home or back to consciousness. Okay, number two, your life awaits. Oh, this line is the whole reason for this podcast episode. This is my favorite part of the whole stanza. To me, this thought evokes emotions of hopefulness, anticipation, embarking on a new journey, almost like a clean slate. This thought is jovial to me. It makes me want to be adventurous. I want to offer you this thought, my audience. Try it on when you're feeling hopeless, when you don't want to get out of bed. Your life awaits. A lot of times when we don't want to get out of bed, it's because we already know what's going to happen in the day. What if instead of saying like, oh, like here I go again, I have all these things to do, I already know what's going to happen. What if we offer our thought in addition to those, right? Your life awaits, Haley. Your life awaits. Let's go. Let's enjoy it. How can we make today magical? How can we make today adventurous, creative, fun? How can we make that happen for us today? In honest, I have had my bouts of uncertainty and hopelessness during this time of like job searching and unemployment. And I've been offering my brain this thought. Your life awaits, Haley. What can you create? How can you make this life magical? And it really helps me get out of bed. It really gets fire under my butt to get going and make some magic happen. Now, number three, go enjoy the sun. Studies show that when we expose ourselves to 10 to 15 minutes, depending on our skin tone, of sunlight, we increase our vitamin D and serotonin levels. Wow. Like as much sunlight as we can get in is so good for our mental and physical health. Enjoying the sun is quite honestly some of the best advice you could give someone. It improves your mood. For me as a mom, what it does for me, because I feel really cooped up inside when I'm just inside all the time, it helps me just get out of my little bubble and just outside into the open, and it feels free. I get a bigger perspective. Like I'm not stuck in my life. Right, I get to see other people and their lives and them in the earth. and outside in nature. And nature is so healing. Just, you know, watching birds and ducks and bugs and just life. Because when we're inside, we're pretty separated from the earth and the beauty and the magic that is outside. And I feel like the voice in my head gets quiet. Michael Singer, the author of Untethered Soul, he says there's this silent observer in us, and there's this incessant roommate in our head just thinking. And it's so funny how sometimes we say, like, oh, I thought this the other day. We actually didn't have a part in it a lot of the times. A majority of the thoughts in our head, we are not active contributors. They come to us. And there are some times where we do play a part into that, but we don't think. The brain thinks. It's a mechanism. And when I'm outside, I notice that incessant roommate get really quiet. I notice my mind become very still. And that silent observer, that awareness that's oftentimes very quiet and muted, becomes the forefront. It's in the driver's seat at that point. And number four, open up the gates. The website Quoro explained that in literature, opening up the gates symbolizes the passage from one condition to another, such as a physical or metaphorical entrance into a new phase of life, a shift in consciousness, or a journey between different worlds. I love understanding literary aspects of music, literature. It's so interesting to kind of pull from those examples, you know, from the Bible or from old texts, these examples to use them and use them into our own daily lives. It continues to say, the gate can also represent a boundary or barrier that separates and protects what lies beyond it. So shifting consciousness is the greatest work we can do. Living unconsciously or by our survival mind doesn't serve us at the highest level. We don't show up as our true and authentic selves in the unconscious state. It is amazing how much more lively and fulfilled we can show up when we open up the gates of our hearts and our minds. I love this aspect of the song that Elsa sings to Anna. It really is such a parting gift that she's giving to Anna. When we are open, vulnerable, right? If you think about a big gate or a big wall and then it opens up, it's almost a breach of security. And no wonder our nervous systems are kind of like firing. You know, I like to think of my nervous system. I heard this a while back from a researcher, and our nervous system operates a lot of times like a smoke detector in our house. And when, you know, we're cooking some burgers, we cooked it a little too long, and then it goes beep, 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 beep. Oh my gosh, your house is on fire. Hurry, hurry, hurry. And you're like, no. It's just me burning some burgers. It's totally normal. We're not on fire. But our nervous system acts like that a lot of times, like that survival part of our brain. It's useful, right? We don't want to hate on it, but we want to be aware that not everything is life and death. And it is okay to open up the gates. It's actually recommended. It's a beautiful thing to let people in and to be vulnerable. When you think about your life, what comes up for you? Is there a series of painful memories of the past? How did this person wrong you? What maybe you should have said to that person who humiliated you in public, or what you should have done to avoid a painful mistake, or wishing you could go back in time? I want you to try something for me. Try to detach yourself from the story of quote unquote, your life for a moment, when you say those words, my life, there's so much drama, right? There is so much, like, books and books and books of thoughts and emotions that are stored in just that phrase, my life. What if we just detach ourselves a minute from that story of my life? What if you were born today as the person you are now? What would be different? How would you feel? How would you see the world? What stories or pain would you be free from? What if you couldn't remember a single thing from your past? How would you act in this mind space? None of the past can affect you because you're free, you're born, you're literally reborn, you're a new person. None of the weight of the past can hold you down. When I think about doing that, I feel light. I feel new. Did you know that you can live this way right now? This option's available to you. You no longer have to live the same grudge and drudgery of the pains of the past. Your life awaits, as Elsa tells Anna. What if instead of ruminating over what is wrong in your life, what if you discovered what is right in your life? You wake up today, the first thing you think is, ugh, I gotta clean, gotta get the kids ready, gotta go to work, gotta work out, gotta do all the errands. What if instead we wake up and we say, I can breathe. I woke up. I have a warm bed. I have a body that functions. I'm pain free. I have food in my fridge. I have furniture. I have running water. I have electricity. I have transportation. I have a son. I have a day in this life, a day more. What if instead of focusing on what you can't do, you focus on what you can do? What if instead of moping, you get into creation? There are endless amounts of options to choose from. There is no one way to live life. But by God, I want to live it unapologetically, adventurously, bravely, wisely, empowered. I want to live this quote-unquote life that I have been given. I don't know why, but I know I have it. I know I'm aware of it. I want to live it to the fullest. Will you join me? Thank you guys so much for joining me on this episode today. I'll catch you on the next one.